Welcome to the Ether. Today is Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. Today on the Ether, the Yieldmost Show, Cosmos DeFi and analytics tools. Let's take a listen.
Yo.
Hey.
How are you, man?
Doing good. How are you?
Amazing. Amazing. I'm flying out to Spain in about 12 hours, so prepping right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, just taking a little vacation. Getting away from crypto for about 9 days, I think it's 10 days. Taking a little mental break.
Are you allowed to do that?
Well, yeah, I've asked the authorities. some people were against it. We had an incident today, which was very upsetting. Toggle, which is the I'm sure you saw this. I don't even need to reiterate it, but wow, you know, hey Jerry, what a alarming event. You know, you put somebody in charge, you delegate a task, and then this happens. It's I was almost crying.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, well, quite frankly, Gio, nobody does. Nobody really knows what to say. But I'm just hoping tomorrow, you know, things will look better. And for the next 10 days, he's going to post the appropriate GIF. And I'll have limited internet access. I'll have to reach out to him to make sure this goes down. But, you know, people underestimate how difficult of a test that is.
I know. I've heard your struggles.
Yeah, I mean, like, most people think it's just some nerd sitting behind a keyboard clicking a button to send a GIF, right? Like, with an alarm set. That's kind of what you guys have envisioned in your heads. But it's a lot more than that. There's a lot more that goes into this task. And some people are just not cut out for it. So, you know, if I learn he's not the man for the job, well, I'm going to have to give the reins a pat.
Oh, I'm sure. Wait, did you say path?
Yeah, I was being sarcastic.
Okay. Do I have to record this? Is there a special thing for me to... Oh, it's already recorded.
Hopefully none of that was recorded. But yes, from here on forward, you would click the record button.
Mm-hmm. I did?
There we go. Octo, I hope your building didn't burn down and everyone in vicinity is safe. Yeah, I think make them a co-host.
I invited him to speak.
Yeah, he said he might run late because a building was on fire, although I don't know if he was being figurative or... Octo, was there a real fire? I hope you're okay.
Yeah, it's not a fire. It's just there's a work thing that something broke. So, like, what I mean by fire, it means, like, oh, we have to, like, drop everything and try to fix it real quick.
I see.
I realized the terminology was kind of off, my bad. That's how we talk.
No, it's perfectly all right. Toggle, I see you just arrived. I have to admit, about 1 minute ago, I was talking about you. But, we'll get into that later. A little bit disappointed, but, you know, I'm going to see how the next 10 days go. Hathor, this week, Hathor is our special guest. I guess we'll get him up here.
Feel free to invite him. So if you just invite him.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Hathor, it's a pleasure to finally meet you. I know we have spoken I think off and on over like the last 5 months. Actually, one of my first great conversations in Osmosis was with you. I think it was like in January or something. But welcome.
Hey, you know, actually, it's so there's two parts to Hathor. So give me 1 second here. I think he was speaking with the developer portion of Hathor, which is I'm inviting him right now.
Oh, okay.
He did tell me about you. He did tell me about you.
Yeah. So
yes. Zeth, so Flo is the unbelievable person when creates graphics that explains like analytics on what's happening on Osmosis and Cosmos. And then Hathor will be joining as well. And it'll be a combination of both. In a second.
Wait, Flo is your name?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Flo like Osmo.
Yeah, yeah, like from the Progressive commercials. Are you aware of Flo?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh, yep.
Yeah, I find her mildly funny, so... this should be a great conversation, but gotcha. So there's two people within the Hathor organization. Hathor North.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So you run all like the social media, and you do all those fantastic infographics that are tweeted out. Is that
exactly? That's right.
Very cool.
Right. Exactly.
I very much enjoyed that.
Do the graphics. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Do my best.
Yeah, no, you've been getting a lot of traction on there. Sunny's been retweeting you. Yeah, no, you definitely have a following.
Gracious, no. It's been interesting. You know, it's just growing the community base and whatnot.
Very cool, very cool. So, how long have you been with Hathor? Like, were you with him since the inception of his node, or did you just start?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, since the inception, exactly. We're actually longtime friends. We know each other outside of crypto. So we just went on this journey together.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'd love to hear anything Hathor node related. You know, I was on your site. I love all the content that you guys have in terms of the IL calculator. You even have a income calculator for the LP pools right on your site.
We do. We have the income calculator, the impermanent loss calculator. We have the government dashboard, which is something that we really like to just kind of take a look at every time. We want to just make sure everybody's just participating as far as the validator goes.
Yeah.
And we have the superfluid staking governance dashboard, which has been really helpful, especially during the month of May with all the changes that occurred.
Yeah. Well, one of the... greatest additions that I think this is actually how I first learned of you guys was the blog post. One of the first ones being the value of Osmo. I think I saw that when he wrote that. I think it was like January ish. But yeah, it was really informative regarding the value of Osmo. There's still some equations in there that even to this day I don't quite comprehend, but. I'll give that to Octo and Kaku to better understand that.
Yeah, no problem. No, this is awesome. So everybody, first of all, thanks so much for joining our Yulmo show. This is the third one that we've had. We plan to do one every single week from here onwards. So thank you everybody for joining. Kind of giving you a breakdown on kind of how the show will operate. The first half will be discussing a little bit about updates on Osmosis. Zeth will go a little bit further on updates on Osmosis, kind of like Cosmos DeFi all up. And then we'll go a little bit deeper thereafter on what's happening with Yieldmos and Dexmos and thoughts and ideas that we're trying to push forward and getting some of your feedback on it. And then we'll just go into a general talk, an open conversation. We have a guest today, the Hathor Group. We're just super excited for them to be here, Flo. And then Hathor will show up hopefully very soon, and we'll discuss about that. And then it'll just be an open conversation. But yeah, that's kind of the flow of today, just straight up getting a little bit of an update on what's happened in Cosmos DeFi, starting a little bit with Osmosis, and Zeth will kick that off, and then we'll give updates on Dexmos and Yieldmos, and then we'll just have a general conversation and talking about analytics and Cosmos, what else is needed, and conversations around that point. So with that being said, thanks for joining, and Zeth, go for it, man.
Yeah, so I actually wanted to kick this off and actually with the open discussion portion, because I wanted to see all of your views on Luna. This is sort of Osmosis adjacent, but it had a big impact on Osmosis, and the new chain launched on the 28th. I think the Binance launch was the 31st, so yesterday. What are your guys' thoughts on Luna 2.0 as it stands right now? By the way, I think it just dumped 25% in the last 24 hours. But do you guys see a future there? What are your guys' thoughts on Luna 2.0? And by the way, anyone in the audience, feel free to chime in if you have any thoughts. Well, Octo, what did you think of Luna 2.0 thus far?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. I did not get a fair drop, so I haven't really been keeping too much in touch with it. But I know that there's actually been really good vibes on Twitter, in the sense of post airdrop of Luna and conversion to Luna C. The community seems quite happy with the chain still. So I haven't done much of a deep dive there, nor have I been able to claim any additional Luna to be able to kind of see what's happening on that chain. To be frank, I haven't really kept up to it. So that's why I was a little silent to hear what other people said, because I've been so focused on Yomo's features. So for my feedback, there was just a lot of people making fun of Luna, unfortunately, when they were trying to figure things out. But they've been executing pretty well. And looking at the sentiment on like just developers and the community members within Luna, it seems like people are kind of happy with things that's slightly moving forward. Despite, of course, there will be a dump when you airdrop assets to like a bunch of people. There's a set of community believers, and then there's a set of people that are just trying to cash out. But at least from a developer community perspective, they seem actually relatively happier than I expected. I still need to do a little bit more of a deep dive.
Yeah, that was most of my sentiment. I'm actually surprised how many people are latching onto this as though it's going to be a competent chain in the future. You know, I envision this to sort of be a situation where people try to recoup their losses in such a way. But it seems like there are quite a few people, at least from the sentiment that I've been gathering, at least on Twitter, that are viewing this as a long-term chain. It's very surprising, because I would think there would be a little more skepticism, especially based on what just happened. But there isn't. Yeah, go on, Jim.
Yeah, I think there's a big there was a lot of apps. There was a ton of apps that were running on that chain, right? So if those apps don't abandon the chain, don't abandon the new Luna 2, which I think we've already seen that some are, but if the majority don't, then that network still has a use case, right? It was only one part of the old Luna Classic that sort of destroyed itself. And then obviously all those apps that depended on UST or AUST to function, right? But there's still, it's still salvageable, right? All those apps could probably pivot to using another stable coin or maybe something new that they come with. Who knows? But I'm curious to know people who have like bought a material amount of Luna 2 to get their thoughts on that, because if you're investing a material amount of money into something like that, it obviously means you have some conviction. So it'd be interesting to talk to those people.
So just full disclosure here, I did get an airdrop just because of the losses that we suffered through UST. And I guess I would probably be the skeptic here. It's just that the airdrop, the way that it was formed, is you get, you know, the 25% that you're able to, you know, either stake or sell, depending on whatever you choose to do. And then you have the 75% that's remaining that's automatically staked to just a random validator, for example. So in a sense, we're kind of forced to participate in the birth of the new chain. So, you know, as you can see from the price action, a lot of people are opting to just kind of cash out. And then, you know, they have that 75% that's going to remain staked until November. I think it was the first portion that gets unlocked. And then you have the final portion, which is May of 2023. So a lot of us are kind of just having to just kind of ride this way, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, but still, though, like you said yourself, the price action, right? Even with 25% of the supply being available, that's still millions and millions of coins. You would think that the price wouldn't be going up.
Right. And I think the initial pump came from the Binance listing. But most of the feedback that I'm getting from just chains that are migrating, some of the just lessons learned, is that they're not going to be just one chain centric. Cato, for example, right? That they're migrating over to Juno. They're going to be using USDC as the native central, you know, stable coin. And I think they talked about using NGM as well. But right now it's going to be USDC as opposed to UST.
Flo, have you had any feedback from them or on like what is their liquidity driver now for like Luna 2.0? I think what Gio mentioned initially was actually really relevant, which is a lot of these apps were built around UST utility, stability, and like management. So everything from Astroport, while it's still a DEX, like most of these pairings side by side was either a stable swap or with like UST from Mars to like their borrow lending market. So now that they don't have like their stable coin, which I'm glad they don't have, the question is just like, have you heard any conversations on like how do you drive liquidity for these for this infra? Because it's good to build infra, but it, like infra has a purpose. It's usually for like capital efficiency. So I'm curious on what their thoughts are like on how to bring liquidity over. Now that's like, that is a new war, right? Like the war Terra was playing beforehand was how do you provide utility for its own stablecoin, which is great because that means you can control your supply of stablecoin. Well, that was the thought process, but now you have to drive new liquidity over. And that's a whole nother ballgame.
My comment on that.
Go ahead.
Well, it's me, Hatter. Sorry for your earlier technical difficulties. I think what'll be interesting to see is can they sort of plug and chug USDC into those DEXs and other places? Because Luna will always be the transaction fee, you know, what you pay the gas fee in over at that chain. And Cato and the other apps can want to migrate, but it won't be an easy migration process, right? Like the Cosmos SDK isn't at a point where you have an app on one chain and you can effortlessly put it onto another chain. So I feel like Luna 2.0 almost has a pseudo first mover advantage in that the apps that existed on there were already built like for Luna. So migrating is effortful. So I think the apps that choose to stay just see that the cost of migrating might not be worth it if they're not too heavily reliant on UST and potentially could just use a different stable coin. So it'll be interesting to see how Mars and Cato Money do in terms of migrating chains, because if it's harder than we suspect, given the nature of the Cosmos SDK, that will, I think, pose challenges for Tendermint and the development of the Cosmos SDK in general, if it isn't a smooth transition.
Oh, that's such a valuable point, right? I guess I never took it from a perspective on debt cost, like technical debt, when it comes to moving from one Cosmos SDK chain to another. Like my thought process was, well, when you move to Luna 2.0, there's not much liquidity there. You have to wait for a bunch of new liquidity to come on board. When you can go to like Osmosis or Kava or something else to like maybe, I wouldn't say like, to leverage that like liquidity to like so people can use your product. But I guess, yeah, I never thought of the technical debt to move from a one Cosmos SDK chain to another. And that might be a barrier. That makes sense. So I guess it's more of a collective effort to bring like liquidity to the new chain rather than move off to something else. I never took that perspective into place. That's really interesting.
I want to argue here that the opposite is also kind of true. If it seems like it's very, very easy to move over and there's success stories, it may be very attractive for more people to follow suit.
Yeah, but what defines that success story though? Like maybe I'm being closed-minded here. But the success story for me is I have migrated over. People, a lot of people are using my apps. And some of those metrics, mind you, Flo put out a tweet to go against this concept. But like one of those metrics is TVL. Another one is users. But oftentimes I find user growth is based off of TVL growth. Or they're somehow connected in some way. So like for me, what is that success metric? Is it moving over or is it actually usage of that platform? And then oftentimes the usage of a platform is based off the interest of a chain, where the interest of that chain is based on how much liquidity is on that chain. So I'm like, I'm very curious on like, what does that mean for them? It's a very difficult time period for all these developers, for sure. But I'm like, I'm wondering what it means to be like a success case to encourage other people to move over to that chain. It's a very, very difficult time for sure.
I suppose that metric would also be definitely hard to tell, since Luna itself is now somewhat in a sense new. It's established, but it's also kind of new, where it might be hard to tell what's successful staying on there and what's successful moving off, comparing them with each other, since the whole thing is shifting right now. So I could agree with that it is difficult to measure that.
Yeah,
I almost wish we could we could like fund some kind of A/B testing and get one of the protocols to stay on Luna 2 and migrate at the same time, and then see how long it takes to migrate and then establish like a larger TVL or user base, just so we could get like a clear, definitive example. Like, I know Mars is coming to Osmosis, and I'm curious like what their peak lending looked like on Luna Classic and how long it'll take them to migrate and sort of hit that peak here on Osmosis. Cause that, I think, will be the answer. I think it can go either way, and we just won't know until like half a year from now, when the dust settles and those who stayed and those who migrated.
That's such a good point, right? Like, why not just have both? Well, of course, that's so much technical additional work that's needed in management. Managing two different networks where throughputs on both networks are different is very difficult. But like, that's such a vibe. That makes total sense, right? Like, imagine Osmosis is probably, if they can give a grant of some sort to build more utility in Osmosis. And anyways, Osmosis' stance is you come here, you build, you find product market fit, you become your own app chain, right? So if they need to migrate later, but they find some type of utility on Osmosis, I think that's a benefit for Osmosis all up. And they can do something on Luna 2.0, but it's just so much more work. But I'm wondering if a grant or something can help fund that work. That's actually really, really interesting. And I'm very curious also on Luna 2.0, what bridges will be supporting it? Is it Wormhole actually going to support it out of the box? Or not? Like, I'm very curious on like all that stuff. I need to really do a deep dive for sure.
Yeah. No, that is a great point. And Hathor, I would just want to say it's a pleasure to finally meet you. I was talking with Flo, but yeah, I've spoken off and on with you for probably like the last 4 or 5 months. But it's an honor to finally meet.
Yeah, it's great to meet you and everybody else here as well. Tio's here too, right? I am the person on Discord. Flo is my Twitter lineup, as I refer to him.
You are the person on Discord.
Yeah, on Discord and Reddit, that is me. But Flo is specifically the person on Twitter. I'm not a big fan of Twitter, if you couldn't tell by my 10 minutes of struggling to get on the Twitter space. So I have Flo, a good friend of mine, take care of that stuff. And he's really good at seeing infographics, which I hear you guys are fans of, from what he tells me.
Yes, huge fans of. But yes, I'm not much of a Twitter person myself. But yes, I very much enjoy Flo's handsome infographics. And yes, Geo is the Yieldmos icon right there. That's Geo. So,
hey, Hathor, nice to finally meet you over voice as well. We've been chatting for months about stuff. People might not know this, but Hathor is in part responsible for getting me for helping me get Dexmos up and off the ground as well. So thank you for that as well.
And Dexmos is a big provider of data to Hathor nodes as well. It's been a pretty good partnership. Your archive node is very useful. So whenever you see those dashboards on Hathor nodes, like, send Geo a little thank you for me. I know I do, whenever those jobs from. So I appreciate it. It's been a good partnership. It's nice to come out here and speak with everybody.
Yeah, and since we're on the topic of you, I just wanted to say I also really appreciate your blogs. I think the first one I saw that you produced was titled The Value of Osmo, which I think you put out in like December or January. But yeah, very interesting blogs. I'm sad you only have 3 currently. You also had some Reddit posts, didn't you? That also kind of added to your blogs?
I did. I had some Reddit posts that were similar in content. The Value of Osmo post, I love that one too. I'm actually hoping to, this week or next, put out a liquidity provider dashboard that will have that concept. I think Flo has put up the charts of like price weighting of Osmosis based on tokens. So I'm hoping to get like a live version of that graph on a dashboard so people can see, like, as you add liquidity to Osmo pools, how does that shift the makeup of the Osmosis price? Just because I think it'll help decision makers, like in the incentives programs and stuff, think about, I guess, the health of Osmosis as a token price-wise. I always make the like ETF comparison of like, we are, you know, a mixture of what is in the liquidity pools. It's something to keep in mind, like as we incentivize pools and add things. So I'm a big fan of the blogs, and I'm hoping once all this is done to put out sort of like weekly report, blog post, infographic style of like just analytic trends in Osmosis, just so like everyday users and just decision makers can kind of get a quantitative feel of like what's going on in the DEX.
Yeah, I think that that way to conceptualize Osmo as instead of like a single asset as more so an ETF or like a mutual fund, since it's like the price is basically predicated on TVL of, you know, I guess, what is it, 30, 40 assets at this point. I look forward to that post. So regarding your node, though, how long have you guys been active and what assets are you currently noting?
So I think the very first node started, it was like late December in Bitcoin. And then I joined Osmosis probably like January as a node. I've been like a liquidity pool provider since like, I think August. Flo messaged me one day and was like, look at this like DEX, I think you'd like it. And then I was like, yeah, why not? So then somewhere around January, we increased the validator set to like 118. And I joined around then. And then when the LUM airdrop came out, I started noting then as well. So I've been, I think, active in the community since like November, December, but got into validating when I saw the slot open up. I just figured, you know, I'm a computer nerd, might as well like pitch in a little, right?
Yeah, so it's currently three, Osmosis, LUM, and BitSong.
Yep, three. Everyone keeps asking me to expand to Juno specifically, but there's the cost, the barrier to entry there is a little high, so maybe in the future I'll look into it. I also have my eyes on Akash. I'm a big Akash fan on a random side note. There's a lot of interesting blockchains, I think, in the ecosystem, which is one of my favorite things about Osmosis as a DEX and that like mutual fund kind of concept is that I get to be like partially invested in a lot of different cool app chains that we have going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a lot going on. Well, thank you again for joining us. And by the way, if you had any topics, you know, we didn't really speak prior to this conversation, but if you had any topics you wanted to talk about while on here, by all means, feel free to just be assertive and push me to the side. But I did want to hear your guys' takes. So one other change that occurred on Osmosis this week, and Jerry, you and I were just speaking about this, so I want to hear your thoughts as well, is the major incentives category rebalance. So basically the TLDR was that about 2 weeks ago now, after Luna crashed, we basically changed our category model in Osmosis to where we would have majors, stables, and miners get a certain breakdown percentage of incentives. And we never had this sort of grouping prior. But from what Jerry was telling me, there apparently was some controversy over the percentage that was going to pool number one. Adam Osmo, and specifically, it was getting Jerry, was it like 30% of the total incentives were going to that pool?
And then so it was once
whittled down to 15.
Sure. So once the incentives for UST and Luna were removed, it looked like it was receiving about 40% of what was left of the entire. Everything really, all the incentives. And so this was, I was hanging out on the Telegram and there were some tears. They felt like it was going all in toward Osmo and within weeks it would become a 100% pool one. And they were saying, oh, within weeks, this will be a 100% pool one DEX and your whole tokens will be worthless. And mostly we were blowing it off, but because the model is based on swap fee generation, partly, I did have a discussion with an incentive group we've got kind of going that includes like Unity and Johnny and a few other members there in Telegram. And I discussed the idea of cutting the credit for pool one a little bit because pretty soon that pool is going to be reduced to a 0.2% swap fee, whereas currently it's 50% higher than that. Because most of the pools have a standard for Osmo that pool doesn't currently share and hasn't since the beginning. And it's possible that the increase in swap fees on that pool, or the extra amount, not increase, but the extra amount that it has over others, might be causing it to be allocated more incentives than otherwise would based on how the incentives are allocated. But basically, the group was like, oh, we'll wait and see what happens. And that was the last I had heard about it on my own end. At some point, someone must have had a change of heart, because it looks like Johnny put up the discussion on Commonwealth to completely rebalance them, which went against the wait and see that I was informed about. Honestly, rebalancing is fine, because over time they would just go back usage-wise to whatever is a fair value. But it also includes a cap for Adam on that rebalance, which I don't know if I agree with that. But, you know, it's, I wasn't part of that particular part of the process, so I'm not sure what happened there.
Okay, so the rebalance is, for pool number one, it's 15%. So this is actually proposal 244. It's titled Major Incentives Category Balance. So pool number one is 15%. Osmo Crow, which is number nine, is 3%. And then they really boosted up the new Ethereum and Bitcoin pools, 704 and 712, respectively, to 10% each. But you're saying, in addition to that, there's also a hard cap on pool number one?
Yeah, so they also added a maximum incentive level that would be at 25%. It's in the proposal. It's just kind of in the paragraph about describing it. So yes, that it won't ever go higher than that based on the normal allocations that are given by, like, the swap fee or usage model. I don't know how I feel about that. I'll have to wait and see. I do think there's a good possibility that we're probably overpaying for Adam at the expense of other shinier, newer assets we could be bringing over to Osmosis. But I haven't decided how I feel about it personally yet.
Right. Well, the other big change this week was the approval of XLR being the canonical Polkadot bridge. So we were talking about DOT coming to Osmosis last week, and I believe I asked you if it was a rumor, and then it was confirmed by Sunny. I think it was earlier that day during the lab. But yeah, so that is looking to be approved. I think it has pretty high turnout, and it's mostly yes. So, you just shared a document. I'm so glad we're able to finally share these documents, by the way. I wish we could share pictures on here, but we can only share tweets. Is that accurate, Octo?
Yep.
It's just tweets.
The tweet has an image. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, yes. This is the proposal I'm referring to, 249. And yes, Flo did an excellent job once again. And yes, Flo, and by the way, if you had any thoughts on 249, feel free. Do not be shy. But yeah, Flo basically wrote here, I wanted to bring your attention to 249, which will allow XLR via Moonbeam as the canonical Polkadot bridge. And yeah, it's mostly leaning towards a yes right now.
Right. And, you know, just to kind of piggyback on what, and I'm sorry if I misread, Jerry Milk Rick, right? Pronounced that correctly.
Yes.
Good enough for me. Jerry.
Okay.
You can call him the Fat King.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
I agree. I do think that we're paying for Adam at the expense of other tokens. And, you know, this is probably one of the biggest cases. For example, we should be incentivizing to expand outside of the Cosmos. Just because of the fact that, you know, and to piggyback off of what Hathor said, we are, so to speak, like an ETF token, right? So the more we expand outside, the better our, you know, our TBL, our price action could be. And we could also get just more users, because obviously you have more diversity of assets and you're not just, you know, segregated to just those Cosmo assets. So, you know, I don't know how many OGs are here, but when Osmosis launched, you had think like seven assets. It was like Akash, Atom, Osmo. What were the other ones?
Ion. You can't forget
Ion. There you go, Ion.
DVPN was in there. Yep.
Yeah, I remember putting my money in DVPN.
I remember that. Let's not talk about DVPN.
Yeah. It's a sore topic. But yeah, I mean, just having more diversity of assets does increase your user base because, again, you have that. Now you have people that want to not only own Osmos, but they also want to own Dot and, you know, possibly Moonbeam and whatever else they may be able to just export because of all these bridges. So it's definitely a positive sign for Osmosis, even during the bear market.
I kind of have a mixed opinion on this. I think we should bring liquidity of these other tokens in here so that when the bull market comes eventually and there are people looking to buy, we have sufficient liquidity so that there isn't slippage. But at the same time, I don't think we really need 200% APR, you know, on a Bitcoin pool. Like, you can't even stake Bitcoin, right? So you don't even need a particularly high APR to entice someone to be in a Bitcoin Osmo pool when you think about it. In fact, I would argue that if you took the staking APR of Osmo and the staking APR of the token you paired with it, averaged them, and then added a little higher to account for impermanent loss between the two tokens, you could probably get like a rough target APR where like a rational actor would choose to be in the liquidity pool instead of staking the two tokens separately. And then you could sort of just go through the pools and set target liquidity and, you know, like APR and incentive levels based on that. I think it'd be a difficult lift to set up at first, but it'd be interesting to see because there's already like, there are pools that are undersaturated in Osmosis from that lens where the APR is so much higher than the IL and staking. That's like, if you're holding these tokens, like, why aren't you in this pool? And then on the flip side, there are also pools in Osmosis where the APR for being in the pool is literally less than staking the two tokens separately. Chino Osmo is a great example of that. And there needs to be some way of like getting those users to just kind of shift their liquidity, I think, into pools that aren't as deep and just making the swaps. I think, Gio, you and I talked about trading bonded GAMs, but I think it'd be cool to also see some sort of like redelegate feature where I'm in the Juno Osmo pool and I can just switch out and be in the ETH Osmo pool because I'm already like bonded to a pool and just skip the unbonding. That way we could sort of like shift liquidity around and it would just simulate the like selling Junos for say Ethereum and joining that pool for you. Something like that to just naturally move liquidity instead of like throwing incentives at pools to try and like get people into the pools.
Did you just come up with the risk-free rate for LPing?
I did. And I think Yield Mode should offer a strategy that you move from pool to pool based on the risk-free rate. And
I like, agree to this.
Just like an at me at the bottom of credit. I think something like that would be really cool to see. And if there's an easy way to do it, you would solve some of the liquidity issues. And because honestly, there are some pools. I saw like a Decanter Atom pool with 2% APR and $100,000 of liquidity. I think I sent it to Flow and I was like, we have to survey the people in this pool. Like the Osmosis devs need to figure out like what gets someone to be in that pool so we can like do some incentive liquidity shifting because there's some bizarre liquidity choices people are making.
So I'm sure in many cases where this happens, it's things like the protocol originator, maybe Decanter themselves, decided to put a certain base amount of liquidity in the pool so people would use it and then just never took it out. In which case, that would completely explain situations like that. And their liquidity probably wouldn't be moving or changing regardless of how you disincentivize or over-incentivize other pools.
Yeah, that has to be the case with the boot pool.
Uh-huh. I just want to go back to what Hathor was saying. I don't think I'm not sure if bonded GAM can become tradable. I think the lift on that would be massive because you basically, from an implementation standpoint, I think you'd basically need to turn every single bonded GAM into an NFT with like a unique expiry. I think the easier thing would be just being able to hand over ownership of that lock GAM to another address. And then if you're able to price the GAM, which is fairly straightforward, right? You have a weight of both of the assets or the number of assets, you have different weights, different assets, whatever. You can probably price that into a USD type equivalent. And then if there's like a GAM that you want, right? You have the, like Hathor was saying, you have the Juno Osmo pool and you want to get out of that and get into the Osmo ETH pool. You could probably trade with somebody. I'm saying trade, but you're really just swapping the ownership of those of the locks, right? So like it's kind of weird because the locks have a static amount. Like what I'm trying to say is that like a lock, when a lock is created, whatever the original amount of assets that was put into the pool is what the lock is created with. So you might end up with a lock that's like worth $10, or it might be $100, or it's $1,000, but it's not fungible, right? So if you could like find somebody else with like a similar amount of value, I guess, that wants to trade with you, you could absolutely do that without having to move any liquidity around.
You know, it might be interesting for someone to develop an app whose entire job is, it's built on osmosis, but it's entirely based on creating and building liquidity pools that are only for GAM tokens, because you can absolutely make a GAM A, GAM B liquidity pool that's only job is to swap those GAM tokens.
Yeah, ooh, but that would actually... Yeah, so tradable GAM is not bonded, right? So you could absolutely make a pool like that, but it wouldn't be eligible for those crazy high APRs, unfortunately.
I suppose that's accurate, yes.
I think tradable, maybe not tradable, but like transferable bonded GAMs shouldn't be too difficult. It's hard to say. I mean, looking at the code, it seems like when you bond your GAMs, you give up the GAMs, and that's why they're not in your balance anymore. But you possess, like, a lock ID is stored, like, in the blockchain, right, that's associated with you. So if they just made a way to change the owner of the lock ID and then made it interactable, where you had a transaction that was simply just change lock owner, then people could build apps on that. So I think it would be a bit of a lift at first for the devs to think of like the safe and like reasonable way to expose like here are locks you own without necessarily making it like a token you possess, but just you have the ability to interact with locks you own and then allow sort of the general community, like through the grants program or whatever, to build dApps that like leverage that and do like swapping of locks and things of that nature.
I do think super fluid staking might put a difficulty on that just in chain security particular reasoning, even though that's a low risk right now. It could at some point be a higher one.
The SFS stuff is also its own lock. So you have the, it's like a lock on a lock, if I remember correctly. So it's not like you'd be transferring the ownership of the super fluid lock. You'd be, it's not like a transfer and an unlock. It's just a transfer so that Osmo would still stay quote unquote staked, right?
Well, if it's a lock on a lock, then wouldn't it essentially be you're moving your GAM lock over to a different address and receiving a different GAM address, but that lock is supposed to be related to the GAM address that you just sent away, if I'm thinking about how the superfluid staking works on the back end.
I think that's right, from what I recall. Like, they just made a different kind of lock, and I believe it's associated with the original GAM, not the owner. But if it's associated with the owner, you would just have to check if that lock is associated with the superfluid safe lock and then change both of them. So it definitely would be additional lifting for the dev. So I think it might be the kind of thing where someone would have to come up with a good use case of moving bonded GAMs and then make it worth the effort on the dev's part, right? Because they do have a series of things they're working on. So it might just be a capacity issue before we could really see, I guess, that market of bonded GAMs.
Well, the use case that was brought up to us was if you would like to exit the LP sooner than the 1, 7, or 14 day lockup, you could sell that on a market or an auction style market, either bid ask or auction style market, you could sell your GAM, the ownership to your GAM, and then be able to you know, remove the liquidity prior to the 1/7 of 14 days being up. And obviously you would have to be, you know, you would have to take a discount to be able to do that, right? So you have people, there's probably people out there that would be willing to hold onto that GAM for 14 days and, you know, make 1 to 10% probably return over that course of that 1/7 or 14 days. So that's sort of the use case that was brought up to us.
So I don't have any inside information on this, but I strongly suspect that the devs are probably very, very strongly considering some alternative method to escape your bonded GAMs faster, aside from maybe your superfluid staked Osmo that are a part of it, just as a security measure because of the recent issues with Terra.
Yeah, I think I've seen discussions about making deep pooling feature that they built for the UST pools, make that available to every single pool out there. But that's still different.
Right. And I would agree, right? That's not enough. Yeah. That would not the depooling would not give you your assets faster. I do think that they are likely, I don't have any information on it, but I believe they're probably likely considering what options they have and weighing them, because certainly being able to remove non staked assets quicker has a solid use, and it would keep people from being able to drain value from Osmosis if people were moving their assets to places that are not at risk quicker instead of just leaving them unbonding.
Right. And I think there's a market for this stuff too, because if you look at like all of the collateralized platforms like Maker and for a time there, you know, Anchor, there was a number of debt markets where you could go, they were all mostly auction style, where you could place a bid on the assets. I think it was ETH and Luna. If it fell below, you know, 1, 5, 15%, whatever the collateral amount was inside of users' accounts, they could, you know, place a bid on it and auction style buy that stuff as there's volatility. So I think there is appetite for that type of liquidity too.
I'm curious. Sunny was talking on updates today about shelving Isotonic from Mars for now and sourcing that information, or making it open source for people to use, and maybe giving that sort of code over to the Ion DAO to build something like a Ion Maker style thing going for a stable coin or something that might use a mix of Isotonic and Maker style code. So that may be a thing forthcoming at some point in the future, since Isotonic doesn't have its prior use case anymore.
That actually sounds like a really interesting use case for Ion. One, because of the close integration, obviously, but two, like that, you know, while algorithmic stablecoins right now are a meme for the most part, thanks to Terra, I think that there is still value in trying to figure out and combine value of assets to come up with a stable valued asset. We all know that, you know, the market right now, pretty much all of crypto values itself against the US dollar. Most of the world does. So being able to find that, you know, measure of value and that constant rate of value, even in such a market as volatile as crypto is, if you hit the money mark right, like Terra did for a while, then you can really grow and move and build things fast.
Talking about building things fast, did you guys see that Solana halted again? It needs to be restarted?
Yeah, again. Again.
Again.
What happened this time?
Some bug with some nuance generation caused a bunch of non-deterministic behavior.
Wasn't that the issue last time?
Whew, great question. But what would it be? I mean, I expect these once a month. So, like, sort of measure my life between, you know, from soul restart to soul restart these days.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the struggles they have. And it is nice to see, for the most part, the Cosmos SDK does well with like high traffic situations and not running into, I guess, too many of these weird bugs, minus I think the one Juno bug when they applied their patch regarding that whale. Aside from Terra having like shutting down due to traffic issues at some point earlier, we haven't had too much issues, like too many issues in that regard here in the Cosmos SDK.
Right, right. And the Juno thing was somebody exploiting a bug in some low-level ACBI query. So I think they had to put off the release of that patch because of the whale. But yeah, it's and especially with what all the traffic that Osmosis got during the whole Luna UST collapse. I mean, the volumes were 5-10x what they normally are. I haven't looked at transaction volume, but I have to assume that that's the case too. And I was using Osmosis during that period, and I not once did I feel like things slowed down.
Same, actually. It's when I entered Osmosis myself, so like it was still pretty speedy. I mean, I didn't feel anything really.
Yeah, it's been impressive. We actually had a couple weeks ago on Osmosis somebody who was just spamming transactions trying to like DDoS the network, and it was so not noticeable that I didn't even notice until I was looking at the blocks being processed, and I was like, why are there hundreds of transactions in here? And it was just two wallets sending each other like one Osmo back and forth. And I brought it up in the validator chat, and we were all just kind of like, I guess we'll just let it be because it doesn't really seem to matter. And yeah, like we just shrugged it off. It was bizarre to see somebody try their hardest to like DDoS the network, and then it was basically just like an ignored, laughable effort. So that's definitely really good to see.
Yeah. This has happened several times. It's never made a difference, it seems like.
What is an account sequence, right? So I wanted to also bring up that for those of you that are going to, those of you that might not know, there's going to be OsmoCon next week. Yeah, next week on the 9th in Austin. Just want to let you all know that we are going to be there. We, being me, Octo, will be repping Yieldmos and Osmosis and other stuff. I've been asked to give a talk. I've decided to talk about AuthZ and sort of non-custodial solutions and stuff like that. So if any of you are going to be in Austin, please come by and say hi.
The llama will be there. I told him to say hi already.
So yeah, I'll say hi, of course.
Looking forward to it.
I would have loved to make it, Geo, but I won't be in country then. But another time.
Yeah, I heard. I heard you're like gonna not even pay attention to crypto for like 2 weeks. I don't even know what to say to you.
Yeah, I need a bit of a mental break.
That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, I did want to say, so this is not related to any of the 12 topics we were just speaking about, but Nkaku, I don't want to steal your thunder here. So if you want to ask the question that you wanted to direct to Hathor, this is your time. Again, I don't want to steal your thunder. I will ask it for you if you don't want to. You can just nod by emoji or something if the answer is no.
It wouldn't be a day if Kaku didn't have microphone issues.
Okay.
And now I got to hear this question though.
it wasn't anything that crazy. Kaku, you there? Or he's attempting. Oh, he's
connecting.
Yeah, he just reconnected. I'll let him attempt. But if he can't, I'll just read what he wrote here. I wanted to bring up the Austin thing, but you already did. And congrats again for being invited to speak there. Like, what is so? You're going to be just talking about AuthZ. That's kind of what you were invited to speak about, and then of course anything Yieldmos specific, Dexmos specific.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to, you know, raise awareness about Auth-Z and what it can do, and then try to tie it in with what YieldMulse is currently using Auth-Z for, type of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, it looks like Kaku is unable to connect here. So, Hathor, basically all he was asking was he wanted to know, with Restake, he noticed that quite a few chains were compounding more than daily. From an APY perspective, this doesn't really change things, even with the transaction fees. So he was just wondering, from maybe a network perspective, was there any advantage to staking, for instance, per hour or any other frequency as opposed to just daily? Because again, from an APY standpoint, it doesn't really change much. But it seems like some other validators are compounding way more frequently.
I think most validators that are compounding way more frequently are probably just targeting the like min-maxing of APY. Because from a network perspective, off the top of my head, submitting more transactions doesn't really do much for you. And they're probably batching the transactions, right, I assume, so it's not really saving them that much in fees to do it more. I assume they're just going for the marginal, like, APY gain. Because it's not just the inflation reward, too. You get the staking fees, the transaction fees that occur while you're there compounding. But off the top of my head, like, sending a transaction of restake 100 atoms is the same amount of gas to restake one atom off the top of my head. Like, it does not matter how much. Like, it's just moving one number to the other. The extra, like, 3 bits to hold the number 100 versus one or whatever is not actually changing anything for the network or the validator itself, as far as I know.
Okay, so it really is just a very menial change based on the transaction feeds that happen in between epochs. Like, they're just really trying to min-max 0.001% or whatever it is.
Yeah, especially on Osmosis, right? Because it's not even, like, outside of Osmosis, like, you know, like, inflation's every block, so maybe just, you know, restaking and trying to maximize your share of the pie as much as possible makes sense. But in Osmosis, like, there's very little to catch in terms of transaction fees right now, so you could probably just do it once an epoch. Like, I do it once an epoch, personally.
Right, yeah. I was just looking at that, and, yeah, my inclination was that you should just do it once an epoch. It probably wouldn't matter even with the transaction fees in the consideration. So then it just led me to think, is there some other network reason or some other advantage that I'm not seeing here? But it appears the answer is no to that.
I imagine they just set it up like that for all their networks, and they've just sort of carried it over to Osmosis. And in particular, chains where the APR is high enough, it might actually be noticeable to do it once an hour instead of once a day.
Right. Yeah, no, I could definitely see that with, you know, non-epoch chains. You know, there's a bit of a marginal difference, but okay. Well, no, that was his only question. Yeah, so I guess we can take listener questions as well. If anyone in the audience who hasn't already participated wanted to ask a question, raise your hand and Gio will call you up to the stage. I think the answer would be no to that.
I have a question.
When token?
Oh God!
Great question. There's a bunch of legal stuff that needs to happen prior to us even thinking about that. The ball's been slowly moving on that stuff, so. I don't know, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. I don't know. The token is not really a priority right now. Trying to get an app developed and trying to get a community built and trying to get users to use the app is sort of a bigger priority. Although I understand people want the token. The token is you know, as they say, all good things come to those who wait, right?
I personally think, well, since using Yieldmost, let me just talk about your product here for a moment. Since using Yieldmost, it actually has definitely significantly helped my returns when it comes to just pure staking right now. So I'm very excited to see what can happen with the liquidity pools coming soon, TM. And I'm very excited to see what you folks can do with that. Because let's be real, if you can create something to set and forget, especially in this type of market, like I'm mostly a liquidity pool provider for a bunch of random liquidity pools because I'm new to this and I really don't like my mentality is I like the platform of Osmosis. I like the community. I'm going to work within here and provide liquidity. But like, you know, I'm looking at all the pools that I'm currently in and I'm like, oh, okay, I really actually need to distribute some of these funds around to make more sense. But if I can set and forget, that just makes my life easier. And I can't wait. And I understand about the legal things about a coin or a token or anything. However, may I suggest random meme NFTs over on Stars if you need to get a quick influx of cash?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. We've discussed that, but I think we held off until they get their auction module up and running. Do like a one-off for the community or something. But I actually have a hard stop here in 1 minute. So I just wanted to thank everybody for joining and hope to see you again.
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to say once again, it's a pleasure to meet you, Hathor and Flo. And please keep it up. You guys are a great asset to the community. And yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, thanks, man. Pleasure to meet everybody.
Likewise.
Guys, it was a pleasure, and we will see you next week. You all have a good day.
Take care.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was The Yieldmost Show, Cosmos DeFi and Analytics Tools, recorded on Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coop with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best smiles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain. Up with the curse, it's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the wait was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash the brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa,
Can you play that one C-Fi space where he clowned all the SafeMoon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily, like, 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, son, I remember a time. Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed, when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbines?
Hey, guys,
I'm reading all about these wind
guys,
turbines.
Guys, do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys, I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
From the creators of Your Exit Liquidity, in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, go to terraspaces.org/donate. Spaces.